Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
I'm Arthur.
And we are kicking off a few mini episodes of our Fantasia coverage.
Yes.
That we're going to be throwing in here, mostly because these films don't necessarily have a set release date yet, so we don't want to get too deep into information about them.
Sure.
You know, lest that they do receive one later on and distribution and all that jazz. So it'll give people a chance to seek them out later. But we did see them, so we do want to talk about them and kind of give everybody sort of general, overarching general thoughts and like a little bit of a synopsis of what the films are actually about.
That's right.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, because we like them and they are good.
Yeah. Pretty much. So we're going to kick things off for this first mini-sode. We've never done this before, so it should be interesting to see how it turns out with the world premiere, which happened on July 23rd at the festival, of Homebodies. This is a Canadian sci-fi, dystopian, dark kind of combination of things,
yeah,
I would say.
But like, not too much horror, but there were some elements that were kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it's more like a, you know, like a darker science fiction film.
Yes.
Essentially. I'll read the quick IMDb synopsis and then we can sort of overarchingly talk about what the film's about a bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Two children, raised in total isolation by an automated house, begin to confront the mysteries of their existence after an enigmatic stranger arrives from outside.
That's fucked up already. That's horror enough.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
It kind of is.
The whole situation and everything.
So the film is, it's very isolated and it has a really small cast because there's really not many characters because these children live alone in the house. Yes, exactly. So fun fact, the two kids who are named Red and Blue for a girl and a boy, which is interesting, and there's some gender dynamics there that are interesting, are played by real life twins, Emma and Ian Ho, who are Canadian actors, which that's so fun.
Yeah.
And
that's why it works so well. They're chemistry and them working off of each other.
Yeah, they sure felt like real siblings, didn't they? Multiple moments, whether they were arguing or just having a regular conversation or spending time with each other, that I was like, wow, I really believe these kids are siblings. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, damn.
Well, there we go.
They really are. And the only other physical cast member that we do see is S. Hodelmoser. I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, who plays the character of Pal, who is this quote-unquote gift who arrives in the house as a Christmas present, essentially, as a new friend for the kids to play with, basically.
Yeah, we're going to get a little bit into that. I did not understand why did the house do that. You know what I mean?
Like, well, it's not the house. It was the people who were, you know.
Oh, it's true, because they're like running. Anyways.
No.
What? It's fine to say.
Don't get too far into it. But yeah, it's sort of, it's the house and like what's going on in there. These children have been raised this way their entire lives. And so we don't.
Okay, wait, but tell me about Pal.
Sorry,
who's the actor?
Yes, okay, so S. Hodelmoser is an actor who I think is quite well known, mostly for their work in stunts.
That's
and
it.
Quite a few other different projects. Apparently also for doing a ton of the motion capture for It as Pennywise,
that's
which is really
fucking
cool.
Cool.
As well as, a number of other performances and things like that. Mostly that's it. There's a ton of stuff filmed in and around Toronto. They're from Toronto, as far as I know. They did have a recurring role as Cindy in The Boys for, I think it's 4 episodes total. So they do recur in that show as an actual speaking character in it. But everything else, that's it. There's a lot of different, some voice work.
Well, like what? Tell me the movies.
Oh my gosh. Okay. let's see. Star Wars Outlaws. It's a video game. Video game of the Avatar films or whatever that is. They were in a number of episodes of the TV series Station 11, which is based on a book that I think was very well received as well. They were in an episode of Titans and a small film called Code 8 as well. So like a number of different things, which is pretty cool. That's it. I think they specialize in a lot of like stunt work and like physical work within their roles, which is pretty fun.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what we get. And the only other quote-unquote character we ever see and or hear or whatever you want to call it is the house itself.
I guess. So I guess it's a character.
It is, kind of. Yeah. So it's a like an AI automated thing that they call, the kids call Papa.
Yes.
Who they speak to. It's very strange.
There's a voice. There's a voice attached to it. So.
Yes, exactly. That's it. Which is actually the voice of the director, Casey Walker.
That's cool.
Which is kind of fun. So yeah.
That house is fucking awesome, just by the way.
Yeah, the set in this. So I think, so you know what? Give everybody your overall thoughts about things, because we don't want to get into plot, because it's going to give away the whole film.
We're going to get into a bit of a plot.
But, you know, let's just talk about some overarching stuff and how we feel about
it. So you kind of are dropped into this without really understanding what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
And that's it. These two kids, you know, they're teenagers, whatever, and they wake up and they have kind of like this strange routine,
yeah,
I guess, of them just eating, watching TV, playing, mm-hmm, and then whatever, mm-hmm, and then they go to bed, right? So, like, you get that for a little bit of the movie. What I want to mention is that, first of all, the house, the set design is very cool
because
it is very, like, futuristic 70s, I guess I want to say.
Yeah, it has a retro futuristic vibe to it for sure.
Yeah, but it's not just that. I would want to live in that fucking house because when the fridge is empty,
oh,
you just close it and you open it and it's stocked. That's fucking cool.
Oh, God.
They just like throw their dishes into the trash and it disappears.
I know.
That is fucking awesome.
It's pretty crazy to think of. But it also helps to, for whatever's going on that we don't really know about for most of the film, it helps these children to feel isolated and not to really know how to take care of themselves because the house just provides everything,
yes,
to them. So they've never had to learn to do something,
mm-hmm,
in the traditional sense. So it's interesting and it's purposeful,
that's
I will
it.
Say.
So they kind of go to this routine and then, as Megan said, there is a gift that arrives on one of the Christmases,
yes,
I guess.
Who they name Pal,
yeah, but it's also this other person.
Yes.
That is very weird.
Yes.
That arrives and it basically disbalances their complete dynamic of what,
yeah,
they've been living for the past, I don't know, 13 years, whatever
12,
age they are.
Years, yeah.
Right? That's just to completely disbalances
mm-hmm,
their dynamic and just things ensue from that.
Yes.
Essentially.
It throws a lot more questions. Like, there is more questioning that's happening of, like, the lives that they currently lead that suddenly happens that's driven more by one sibling than the other. And it's,
yes,
the dynamic of, like, a... Not fully, but like I think I saw a couple of reviews online that were like, you know, it's like a Cain and Abel kind of thing, right?
Yes.
You've got one going in one direction, one going in the other, and it's sort of like how this makes them clash and stuff. So it does have a lot of really interesting dynamics. I think that some of the strongest sort of components of it were definitely the set design, to your point,
mm-hmm,
was really fucking cool. And it's a really interesting idea, as well as the dynamics between the two characters, because I think having real life siblings play these characters did it a ton of favors.
Of course.
And I thought that the kids were really good at kind of sticking to the different personas that each of them have, and where one questions things more, the other one doesn't want to upset the status quo,
mm-hmm,
and we,
mm-hmm,
don't want to anger Papa because there can be consequences to things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then things just kind of like snowball from there and,
yes,
get worse, and that's, yeah, where you find out some of the, you know,
more sinister undertones.
That's it, exactly, of this movie. And it has a great end, I would say. I liked it. I know you wanted more out of it,
yeah,
just that it's more explained. I also understand why you would want that, but I did like it. It also opens that really big door of like, we could make another,
yes,
one.
Yes, I completely agree with. And maybe to a degree that was purposeful, but I felt that the entire maybe like last quarter of the film was way too abrupt for me, and how much we found out in that period of time. I would have preferred to have at least a few other clues earlier on in the film, something, or at the very least for things to be revealed earlier on, so that I could have at least spent just a little bit more time with it, just,
yeah,
ever so slightly more time with it. It almost feels like they weren't quite sure how to end it, so they were like, and then this.
I don't know. I feel like the reason why it was done is because the whole movie is technically from the kids' perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You're not seeing it from them. You know, it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
obviously third-person camera, but it is only what they can experience. So it kind of follows them.
You know what
happens.
You know what? You might be right. Honestly, it's possible. I think for me, that was just like, that was a bit of a bone of contention that I had. But other than that, I felt like it was a pretty solid. And again, coming from someone who's not like a huge sci-fi person,
mm-hmm,
it was interesting. This is the type of science fiction that I like, to be fair.
Yeah.
I do enjoy stuff that feels like it's more slightly based in reality with like scientific like enhancements and things like that. I'm not a big fan of like aliens on spaceships. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Except Alien.
Well, a couple of the Alien films. Some of them I'm not a big fan of. But
fine,
some of,
yeah,
them are pretty good. The first two we know are really, really great films.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah.
Did you hear that the second Alien Romulus,
they
it's
canceled
like on
it.
Hold?
Or
well, not canceled. It's like,
oh, I thought they officially
development
canceled
hell,
it. Oh,
basically.
That's too bad. I'm surprised the first Alien Romulus did quite well.
I know. It's so good. Anyways, read up on it. It's a whole thing.
Well, that's too bad. Fede Alvarez must be disappointed.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. Okay, oh, well, you know what? Hey, who knows? Soulmate just finally somehow was released on digital. So, hey, we never know where these things are going to wind up. Maybe it'll take longer than it should, which sucks, but we could get there regardless. Yeah.
But anyways, if they make another one for Homebodies or a continuation to expand the universe, I think it would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Just because of the way that it ends and kind of like what it all means and what they're trying to do, I would be very interested to seeing it.
I think it would be interesting. I'm curious to see. I would be curious to see, one, what kind of release it gets. I really hope it does, because I'm not seeing any information thus far. I know it's being distributed by VVS.
Okay, so
I think
it should.
Bare minimum, a digital release of some sort.
Yeah, that's it.
If not, maybe limited theatrical something. Maybe. We'll see. So that would be cool. And I'd be curious to know what the broader public kind of feels about this one as well.
Exactly.
Would be interesting. So those are kind of overarching thoughts. Like we said, we don't want to get too deep into anything since we don't know when this one's being released, but hopefully this just gives you a few little extra minutes for something to potentially look forward to.
Yeah, put it on your list.
If it's something that you're interested in, like if this is the type of story you like, I think this will be pretty up there for people who like a dystopian kind of sci-fi story.
Yeah, put it on your list.
Yep. Canada's much bigger in the sci-fi game than people are aware of, I get the feeling. We do a lot of that here. So keep an eye out for it. Homebodies, I think it'll be an interesting one for people to have a bit of discourse about, I get the feeling. And maybe it'll lead to sequels down the road.
That's right.
So, okay. We are going to wrap it up here. We will have, I'm not sure if you're going to get a couple of minis in a row or maybe a full length kind of shoved in between there too. We'll sort of have to see how the releases go with what we can get done. But we will have a couple more of this sort of length and general stuff coming your way. And let us know what you think of it too. On occasion, you know, if there's maybe a small release and you don't want to get too much into spoilers, if people would like the occasional mini episode about something, I'd be curious to know what people think. Yeah, so let us know about that. Follow us on all of the socials at Gravetone Pod. Keep an eye on everything that we have going on there. Rest of our festival coverage at Fantasia is also at gravetonepod.com, and we will be at you sooner rather than later, as we've seen another one. So until then, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.